Our text this morning is a verse, just one verse. We have been looking at it for several weeks. It comes in the context of the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. It is the sixth verse, and it's one of the I am sayings that of Jesus, and it goes like this. Listen to God's word. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." The word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. I've been thinking about this sermon for weeks, really. I even read a book, one of the books I read. Read a lot of books in July. One of them was called Who's Afraid of Postmodernism? Now, aren't you glad I'm not going to tell you about that book today? And I've thought and thought and thought, how do you talk about Jesus' claim that he is the truth? You know, we can talk about that he's the way to God. We've been talking about that. How do you talk about that God is the truth? Now, if I had preached this sermon last week, you might have heard more about who's afraid of postmodernism. And that may be why God struck me down with a kidney stone. I mean, it really could be that. I passed a kidney stone in the middle of the night last Saturday night. I was going to bring it today to show the kids, you know, show and tell. But I thought better of that. Well, how do we talk about these concepts that, you know, humans have been talking about this stuff forever? And how do you talk about, you could talk about whether, you know, you shall not lie. I mean, that's related to truth. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Don't bear false witness. I mean, we can talk about truth and truthfulness that way. But how do you talk about truth with a capital T when Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth. I am the truth." I mean, Pilate didn't know how to answer. He asked the question with Jesus standing right beside him. Pilate said, "What is truth?" That's in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John. Well, let's see if we can use an illustration that might help us here. One of the television shows that is on regularly, and I must confess I don't watch the show, so I'm not up on, you know, all the latest things that have happened in it, and some of you probably will be able to go way beyond it, but I want to talk about the concept of it. The show is called The Dome. Do you know what I'm talking about? How many of you watched The Dome? How many of you are not really... Raise your hand, your pinky, because you don't want to raise your hand and show that you watch The Dome. Okay, there are a number of us who watch The Dome. Well, the whole premise of The Dome, as I understand it, and please don't worry about correcting me on this, because this is an illustration. This is not truth. This is an illustration. The whole concept of The Dome is that people within a certain geographic area, and I don't know how big it covers, you know, are aware one day, or they wake up one day, and all of a sudden, they're encased in this dome. You know, like an upside-down fishbowl or something like that. And nobody can get out of the dome, and nothing can get in the dome. You know, a plane crashes right into the dome. They didn't know it was there. So the series, as I understand it, is about life, what it means to live inside that dome, I guess trying to get out, cut off from a whole different reality that's out there. Well, we'll use a little bit of philosophy. There was a philosopher by the name of Immanuel Kant who could have used something like this as an illustration, the dome. He would have called life inside the dome of the world as the phenomenal world, the world of phenomena. We can observe what happens in it, and that's how we know anything. We know truth, if there is such a thing. If we're going to know truth, it's going to have to come from within the dome, right? It's going to have to come from observation. Phenomena is something we can observe using our powers of reason. That's what we have. We have our experience. We have our senses. We have our reason and our mind and our ability. So whatever we're going to know is going to have to come out of that because of the dome. But, said Kant, when you're talking about ideas like truth or anything with a capital T, life, peace, love, these kind of ideals, they're really outside the dome. They're in what he called the noumenal world. Okay? Inside, so let's take this now. I'm combining these two in ways that would horrify philosophers, probably. But I think it's useful for an illustration. Inside the dome, well, it's the outside the dome is where God lives. God is in the noumenal world. That's the world of spirit. That's the world of absolutes. That's the world of everything with a capital letter. That's the uppercase world. You follow me? Inside the dome, we don't have God necessarily. We have religion. Why? Because that's all the resource we have. It comes from what we have, from human beings, the experience of human beings, the wisdom of human beings, the reason of human beings, of what we can. So we have different religions because of different human experiences, different human ways of thinking, which lead us in different ways. So same thing about truth. Maybe there is this thing out there called truth, with a capital T, but with life inside the dome, we don't have a capital T, because people within the dome, and here we're thinking of the dome within the, you know, a much, much larger, I don't know how big the dome covers in, you know, in the thing, but I'm thinking of like our world. That's, you know, the whole world is like in a dome. Inside the dome, people have different cultures. Their ideas of truth are conditioned by different historical periods. You know, again, all we have within the dome is us, is our experience, our wisdom. There are different languages, and so thoughts are expressed in different ways in those different languages. Not every language has words for words in other languages. You know that. So inside the dome, there is no truth with a capital T. There are truths. Or we could say that truth is relative. It depends. When you're talking about truth, truth can change. Truth from, you know, one century and one part of the world might look like and be expressed differently than truth in the 21st century in America. So it's relative. Well, and it was believed at one time that using the resources that humanity has, we can get to an understanding of God and now for truth that we can get from the phenomenal world to the noumenal world. You follow me? That we can get from the dome to the world outside the dome using our resources, using our reason. One of the ways that people used to approach this, there are a number of them, but just one of them was it's believed that we can, using our reason, we can come up with God, that there is a God. How? Well, it was thought by just thinking about what we observe in life, cause and effect. For every effect in life, there's a cause. Let's say motion. Motion was a big one. This is from Aristotle. Man, this is back. Goes back. Aristotle, Thomas Aquinas, who utilized him. Okay, motion. Well, the fact that this something is moving, why is it moving? Because the fan blew on it and made it move. Okay, that's the effect is the motion, the cause is the fan. Well, you go back, well, what made that move? Well, there must have been another cause back there. What made that move? You see where we're going? You have effect and cause, 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 until somewhere you have to postulate that there is an uncaused cause. Something that, you know, if there's no movement ever, how do things move? That's a philosophy. I hope I'm not losing you, but just think about it. If everything is perfectly still, where does movement come from? Well, something causes it. Well, what made that something move? You see what I'm saying? So Aristotle and Thomas Aquinas following said, what we can do using our reason is we can come to what they call an unmoved mover. That is God. Who is the final cause, who is not caused by anything else. God is the uncaused cause, the unmoved mover. You follow me so far? If you do, God bless you. Okay. What Kant said was this. We're in the dome. We can go cause, effect, 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 all the way back. But at some point, boom, we're going to hit into the dome. And we can't use reason. It was called the Critique of Pure Reason, 1781. We can't push through into that other world where the absolutes are, where God is, where truth with a capital T, where any of the ideals are, because we're in the dome. What we get is what he called antinomies. There's no answer. You can't make that leap to an unmoved mover or an uncaused cause, because that's in a world that we can't observe. That's in a world that we can't experience. And how do we know anything? By observation, phenomenon, by reason, by experience. So there's limits to the resources that we have. So how can we talk about God and put the word God and truth together? Is there such a thing as truth with a capital T? Well, here's where the gospel comes in. Because philosophy would say, and this is really, you know, in philosophy, this was huge, absolutely huge, that reason had limits. Reason isn't all powerful. In fact, how you reason is sometimes shaped by your presuppositions. The postmodernists would say there is no overarching meta-narrative. There's not something that puts it all. There's just narratives of what people experience, what cultures experience, what happened, what they said, what they did, what we are saying, what we are doing. The only thing overarching is the dome and the limitation. But what the gospel teaches us is this, that God, who created the dome, can penetrate the dome. We can't because of our resources, but God can because God made the dome. So God, who lives in eternity, and therefore truth is eternal, not relative, sends the truth to us inside the dome. That's the gospel. He sends his son, who says, I am the truth. And if you know me, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the truth is not a set of propositions that we arrive at by reason or experience, but the truth is a person. The truth has a personal identity. The truth is incarnational. The truth comes from that world outside the dome into the world, our world in the dome. And if we want to know truth or see truth, that's where we look. Because reason can only take us so far. And we can never arrive at using the limitation of our limitations of our humanity. We can never get to that. It has to come to us. And so in the midst of all of the claims, of all of the religions, even Christianity as a religion, is like Tower of Babel. We're trying to build our way up to the so we can crack the dome. No. No. All religions are under judgment because they're limited. They're anthropomorphic. They're human-centered. They're human-constructed. And we can't get. The only way we're going to know truth is if truth comes to us. That's what Jesus claims. So the scripture that Mr. Winchell read, Greeks demand wisdom. You know, they, in terms of this world, they want that high knowledge. Is that what we should be addressing here every week? Should we be giving rational proofs for the existence of God? You know, there are those, you know, from design, from cause and effect, all this stuff. Some say, you know, miraculous signs. Should we have, well, let's just call that experience. Is that what we should be doing? Should we be having these huge experiences, you know, that go beyond our regular emotions and regular experience? Is that what we should be trying to do every week, is whip that up for all of us? You know, Paul says this, what we preach is Christ crucified. Truth came to us, and we nailed it to a cross. We could say, well, because we really didn't want to know the truth. We wanted to stick with our own truths. So, the only way out of the dome is if the one who made it and is outside of it comes to us. And in Jesus Christ, that's the gospel. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. And we proclaim Christ crucified. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.